Hello and welcome everyone to the very first PR Not BS podcast by Fiona Scott. I'm so pleased that you're here. Thank you for listening. I really hope you enjoy this series of podcasts where we're going to address some of the smoke and mirrors around PR in business, PR in charity, not-for-profits, in life, generally. So today I'm going to give you some practical advice around December in PR. One of the problems I find that small business owners and charities have around PR is that they react and that they're not proactive. And the reality is, to do PR well, you need to do both. You need to be both proactive, planning things, and reactive, ready to go at a moment's notice with an appropriate story. And this is especially true if you're dealing with the media or want to deal with the media. And what is the value of the media? Let me quickly run through that with you. Well, the media is huge these days. It's not just the traditional mainstream media. It could be bloggers, influencers, guest blogs. It could be being a guest on a podcast like this one. There's a range of opportunities for you to be seen, heard in other places other than your own website, for example, where of course you're going to say you're great, aren't you? I mean, who isn't? You're advertising yourself. Nobody goes onto their own website or even onto their own, say, social media, do they? And they say, yeah, I'm a bit average. They just don't do that, do they? Start to understand PR from this first podcast as an opportunity to be out there, an opportunity to be visible in multiple different ways so that people buy into you as a person, to your product, to your service, to your vision, to your ethics, to your organisation. So let's start with December in PR. And I guess the most obvious thing is Christmas. In December, Christmas will be all over the media. It will be all over everywhere, particularly in the UK and particularly in Christian countries, maybe less so in other countries. So what I want you to do is to just relax your shoulders and think, okay, what can I do in my business or organisation for Christmas? And when I find that business owners then get stuck and think, what do I do next? Start with what you know. And by starting with what you know, you start with yourself. So if I use myself as an example, because obviously I don't know all of you listeners, I don't know what your stories are, hopefully I'll know over time, and don't ever be afraid to send me a message or to comment with some ideas that you might have. I really always welcome that. However, I'm going to start with me. So Christmas means to me, what Christmas means to me. So ever since I was little, Christmas has meant a huge deal to me, and I've continued that into adulthood and with my own children. So when I was growing up, Christmas was a time of family, of coming together, and it just so happened that they would generally come together in our small terraced house in a little Somerset town called Radstock near Bath. And it was a time when the fire in the front room was lit and everything was really hot, because that front room in working class families, you didn't heat that the rest of the year, because your home was heated by usually coal-fired central heating. So only certain rooms were warm and you only had radiators in certain rooms. It's not like it was today. So Christmas meant the whole of the downstairs was opened up. There was energy and noise and the smell of food and relatives coming in and out. And that's my memory of Christmas, a family. We were not a rich family, so there were presents, but there weren't loads and loads of presents. You know, there were stacks, the whole floor wasn't covered in them. So we had a few presents, usually quite low value. I seem to remember as a teenager when I started to understand the value of money that my parents would have a limit of a £30 present. That was all they could afford. But it didn't never seem to matter as a child, because there were still presents. And one thing I also remember is one of our neighbours used to dress up as Father Christmas. And right up until I was 11 years old, I really believed on Christmas Day that Father Christmas was coming to visit me and my sister personally, that we were so special that he'd knock on the window of our little terraced house and he would be there. And he had his big sack and he had his beard, and it wasn't a white pristine beard. It was slightly like dirty, like he'd been smoking a pipe. And somehow that added to the authenticity. It was a lovely time. And obviously I grew up and I learned the truth about Christmas. And then you go through that period where Christmas has not quite got the magic because you're on your own. But I always made the effort, if I could, to go home at Christmas, to be with my family, to be one of the visitors that came in. And also then when I had my own family, I began to rebuild Christmas with my husband in the way in which it was done for both of us. And we recreated that for our own children. Remember, between us, we have four children. And we always made it very special. So we'd have Christmas Day and then Christmas Day too. And my stepdaughter would come over on Christmas Day too. So we would spread it out. And we replicated what we had in our own happy childhood. And it's still like that today. The children still speak of it today. One thing that Steve always does is he loves lights. So he puts Christmas lights everywhere. You can see our house from space. I don't know if you put lots of Christmas lights up, but Steve will even put them up the stairs and along the hall, so it looks like a runway. But it's all part of it. We're an eclectic mix. We're not the type of family where, you know, this year's interior design Christmas look is going to be gold and white or red and gold, or it's all going to be peacock or whatever it might be. No, no, no. It's just all thrown into the mix, like some kind of messed up eclectic dinner. But that's us. That really reflects who we are. And I'd ask you and urge you now to think about what Christmas means to you. Your story may be very different. When you start to reflect on that, you think, oh, right, okay, I can write stories about Christmas. I can write blog posts about Christmas so people can get to know me, know a bit about me and connect with me emotionally, which of course is what PR, media relations and storytelling is all about. But connecting with you in an authentic way. You can't pretend to be something that you're not. Now, it might be that Christmas in your world wasn't a very happy time for various reasons, and you will have to make a decision about whether you want to share that or not. But I can assure you, you can write blog posts and social media posts around this. You can look out for media opportunities for journalists who are looking for these very personal Christmas stories. And when you see that, you can think, right, is that me? Do I fit that brief? Do I want to talk about that? Obviously, if you don't, be mindful of how you're feeling, of whether you think it's good for you to do it. But if you do feel positive, just do it. Give it a try. Don't worry, is anything perfect? You know, this is my first podcast. It's not going to be perfect, but at least I'm doing it. And that's what I would urge you to do. Start with your own experience of Christmas and you'll very quickly realise that you've got stories to tell. So with me, I've got the Christmas stories of when I was young, and being brought up in a working class household. I can talk about my grandparents who were central to that. I can talk about not having big presents, but having presents. And then as I grow up, I can talk about how I've recreated Christmas for my own family and how that's different and what Christmas looks like now. You can apply that to your own world, to your own life and share some of that story. So everyone has a story around Christmas to tell. So I would urge you now, just, you know, jot a few notes down and think, right, okay, these are the things I can share about Christmas. And you can do that across social media as well. You might want to do it in bite-sized chunks. Have a look on a social media diary and look and see if there are some days when you can talk about this. If you are very religious or spiritual, and you're very happy to share that, do so. That's up to you. It can evoke strong emotions one way or another, or opinions. But if you're authentic in your beliefs and you share them without being preachy, ranty, or trying to force your beliefs on someone else, generally you create the right tone around it. So I hope that makes sense. Now I'm going to talk specifically now about product-based businesses. So if you run a product-based business, Christmas is an important time of the year for sales for you. You've probably got it all wrapped up already. If you haven't, you might be in a bit of trouble. But, you know, it's the beginning of December, so it's a bit late. But if you are, you've probably arranged and prepared for this months ago. And if you haven't, then next year, that's what you need to. You need to think hashtag Christmas in July, hashtag Christmas in June. That's when you prep for it, so that when Christmas comes, you're ready to hit the ground running. And you probably even start selling your Christmas stuff in, I'd probably say after Halloween. From November, you'd be promoting it. But if you're not in that position or you're just starting out, then look for those last minute Christmas gift guides that come up. Look for them on Twitter. They might come up on Instagram. Look for them and be part of them. It might be a blogger who's doing a Christmas gift guide or something like that. Look out for those. There's always last minute ones, and you can send them your product in return for a mention and a plug. Start off with that. Some bloggers who've got a big audience will ask for money, and you'll have to make a personal decision around whether you think that's of value. But nothing is quite too late, but remember, prepare next time, but look for the opportunities. Now, what if there isn't a gift guide? Why don't you create your own? You could do a blog post on your Christmas gift guide, especially if you've got a decent audience. And you could include in that your product or service, but you could include other complementary products or services, couldn't you? And create your own gift guide, you know, your top 10 predictions for well-being items for 2022. It could be, try and make a gift guide around the area where your business sits. It could be jewellery. It could be costume jewellery. It could be clothing. It could be shoes. It could be toys. It could be almost anything. So if you can't find a gift guide opportunity, create one, folks. And you can always make a stab at contacting your local media with your gift guide and say, would you be interested in this? They may not. What's the worst that can happen? They'll say no. But you could do a blog post on it. You could share those gift guide tips across several days on your social media. And remember that the media love, and so do the public. That's why the media love it, because remember, the media represents the public, what we call listicles. 10 ways of this, 5 ways of that, 20 ways to do this, that kind of thing, if that makes sense. You can do that too for your business. Also gives you the chance to celebrate others. Remember, when we talk about and we share about our business, it's not just about us. That doesn't make us authentic and ethical. It's us and others that we admire, that we can recommend, that fit for that particular brief. It's almost like moulding your own news to fit in with the news, if you see what I mean. Another good thing to do in December to plan is a review of the year. A review of the year of your business. Don't be afraid to talk about all the great things that happened. You can do that in a blog. You can even do it in a news release if you want to give it a whirl with your local press. I'm not saying they'll take it, but give it a try. 10 great things that happened in the world of business in Swindon. I live in Swindon, folks, in the UK. You know, 10 great things that happened in 2021. I mean, it's been another unusual year, hasn't it? And you may find, if you send it with a great picture or a couple of good pictures, that it may get used in your local paper or a local online news site or a local blogger might want to use it or something like that. You need to include where you want the reader to go, if you know what I mean. So it might be, if you're interested in this, go and visit my website at. If you're interested in this and you want to buy it, click here. You need to think, what's the call to action? We call that the call to action going to be at the end. Review of the year also allows you to do other things, particularly on social media. It allows you to thank people who've helped you throughout the year in all sorts of different ways. It might be a single post and you can plan those thanks, because it all feeds into the holistic PR that works for good, heart-centered businesses, whatever their stuff is. And also service-based businesses can do this too. There's no reason why a service-based business, say like mine that does PR, couldn't do a gift guide to the best business services around in the community in 2021. Or the 10 things that happened to me in business that were positive in 2021. You might want to go the other way if you're feeling a bit more courageous. You could say the 5 things that weren't so good and then the 5 things that were. I would say to you, please try and be positive. Don't make a problem without a solution. Doesn't play well in PR. So what I would say to you is, if you want to take that sort of negative psychology thing, 5 not so great things that happened, or 5 not so great things that happened throughout the year, that's fine. But offer 5 positive things. I say, where possible with PR, be positive, because you want people to be positive about your business. You want to put positive energy out there so that you attract positive energy back. Doesn't mean that things don't go wrong in business. Of course they do. They do for everyone. And at some point, I'll do a number of podcasts about how to deal with that. But we're not going to talk about that at Christmas when we're focusing on Christmas. And the other thing about Christmas that comes up is advent calendars. Advent calendars. Do you remember? I mean, when I was a kid, it was such a big thing. You used to open an advent calendar window each day of Christmas from the 1st of December, and it would have a picture. There were no chocolates or anything. It was a picture, and it would be of the 3 kings, or a star, or Jesus, or Mary. Mine were all religious because my mum was very religious. And then later, chocolates. But the chocolate was always a bit naff, I thought. It's still a bit naff today. But we still do it, and you can do the same too. Why can't you create something that's 12 days of Christmas or is an advent calendar? You might not be able to do it now because we're in December, but you can plan it for next year. You can even plan it as a charitable thing to do. And why is that valuable? Well, one, it raises money for a charity that's close to your heart. Okay, I don't know, you might offer someone's randomly picked 12 days of Christmas to win a small prize. You take a picture of what the surprise is, hopefully purchase locally. Could be anything. I'm a t-shirt. It could be a candle. I'm trying to think of some of the things that I've done. And that's the item for the day. People comment and then randomly a winner is picked and they receive that item. And it raises some money for charity. You can do it that way. But it also makes you very visible because it creates energy and interaction around your social media streams, especially if you run it across several platforms. When I've done it, I've made it very much about Facebook, but you could do it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or a mixture of all of them. It creates a lot of energy in a short space of time around what you're doing. So I hope that's a useful idea for you. Now, what else might come at Christmas? Well, another thing might be that there'll be news stories that happen that you can comment on legitimately. So this is the stuff we cannot predict. Everything I've spoken about before can be planned. This is proactive. Now we're going on to reactive. So reactive is where Christmas is, a story might occur on which you can have a view. There might be some major announcement that affects small businesses. It might be something that affects your sector, a change in the law that's coming. There might be a celebrity who's having an issue speaking to well-being and health. And you can have a view and share your expertise and insight, make yourself very visible to the media at that time. But what does that actually mean in practice? Well, what it means is you literally email a journalist. So if I was, say, a health and well-being practitioner, and there was a celebrity member of the royal family who'd revealed in the second week of December that they had problems with bipolar, I might email my local paper and say, I don't know if you're doing anything on such and such. She's revealed that she has problems with bipolar. I work with people like this and I can share some insight into what bipolar looks like and things you can do to combat it. You do it with authenticity. You do it from a good place and a place of good intent. And we call that newsjacking. You're leaping on a story, which is out there anyway, but with the view of helping people. So I hope that makes sense. Now, one other key thing to remember about Christmas is that between Boxing Day and New Year is a very slow news time for the media, unless there's a major incident. And that's a great time to get these blogs out and your stories out in that time, because they will be desperate for content. So if you're unsure, get your story out just after Christmas, I'd say Boxing Day, between Boxing Day up to New Year's Eve. Just an extra little tip to end on. I really hope you've enjoyed today's podcast, and please tune in again soon.